السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، هل جزاء الإحسان إلا الإحسان، فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: التاجر الصدوق الأمين مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. All praise and all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us such a beautiful opportunity, the opportunity of being present on the day of Jumu'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of appreciating this day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of fulfilling the haqq of this day. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that the last day of our life is the day of Jumu'ah. We find that in this world we are living in, that sometimes for very temporary measures, for things that are very, very temporary, a person is willing and very easily he is prepared to forego a relationship of years. Sometimes it's in a form of partnership, whether a person has a partner. Sometimes a person may be a co-heir in an estate, or sometimes he may be a co-beneficiary in a trust, or he may be a co-shareholder in a company. But very often you find that for years people were living and trading like brothers, and something very petty comes in between, and these people now are prepared to split. And you'll find that not only splitting in the way they operate, but even the relationship is completely soured. Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullahi would say very beautifully, he said, Turshi dat ta'am nadal kalam. These buzruks, when they say something, they are very deep, although the analogy is a very simple analogy. So what he's saying is that sour things, things with a sour flavoring, that leave it for the food. For example, you got a bowl of halim, and in that bowl of halim now you put the lemon juice. How nice it makes that halim. Person has got a seekh kebab there and he puts that lemon juice. How nice it makes the taste of that seekh kebab. But take that same lemon juice now and put it in the milk. Take it and put it in the kheer. What does it do? It spoils it. So he said, put that sour things in the food. Don't put it in the speech. This was the style of Anbiya alayhi salam, that even when they had to reprimand also, they would say what is right, but they would never have any sour content in their speech. Their speech would always be very clear, very appropriate. So this is something that we have to be very careful of. Very, very careful. If a person wants a very good death, a very nice moat, then two things he must take care of. One is his tongue, and the other he must take care of his eyesight. It is seen that those people that take care of their tongue, they are very careful of how they speak, how they move, what they say, what they look at. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a very, very nice mouth. And ulama explained that if a person, he wants to have a smooth life, a respectable life, he wants a smooth transition moving into akhirat, then these three qualities he should have. The first quality this person should have, he should have respect for his elders, his seniors. It's very, very important. Ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. The only recompense for kindness is kindness. How can you ever have a child speaking to a parent in an abrupt manner? Recently there was a case. There was a father that was now in dispute. I got a phone call. I'm just giving the case to you. That come urgently, very, very urgent. We need you to help in this matter and arbitrate. So I was not sure what it was, but when I've been there, this was at the attorney's office, they gave me the address, come there. So attorney's boardroom, father is sitting one side, daughter is sitting on the other side, attorney is sitting one side. What is the issue? That this daughter wants to take the father to court. She had already taken the mother to court shortly before that. Now she wants to take the father to court. They're trying to just try and arbitrate and get an out-of-court settlement in some business dispute. And the matter that where she took the mother, daughter taking the mother to court, for some petty financial gain. Petty, something very, very petty, a very petty amount. But taking the mother to court, because sometimes it's more than the money, it's the ego. And the ego is something that is very dangerous. So when that matter had come to court, the magistrate had seen this woman, old woman with the scarf, coming there with the cloak. And on the other side, she's seeing the daughter, young, dressed up, dolled up, coming there. And now she's challenging the mother. The magistrate, the black magistrate, tells her that I'm throwing this matter out of court. How can you ever bring your mother to court for something so petty? And what this girl replies, she says, this is my constitutional right to bring my mother to court. My constitutional right to bring my mother to court. Black magistrate tells her that I don't care if it's your constitutional right, you don't behave in this type of manner. And she throws the case out of court. But I'm just trying to show you that when respect is lost, that even for the seniors, even for the parents, children are willing to take their parents to court. Anyway, the next thing that we should have and we should try to bring in our lives is respect for the dini elders. Somebody may have taught us in maktab. That person may be a not well-known person, but when we were small, that Haji Saab, that Mullaji, that Qari Saab, whoever he may have been, that Appa, that would have taught us that Alif, Ba, Ta, Tha, respect that person also. That person was responsible for bringing deen to you. Those brothers that are involved in tabligh, they're involved in jamaat for years, they're going out, they're knocking on the doors, we need to show them respect. These are the people that have brought deen to us. These are known as our deeni elders. When we show people who taught us deen, we show them respect. Allah Pak will cause us to progress more as far as our deen is concerned. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu would say, "Man allamani harfan fa ana abduhu." That person who had taught me one letter means alif, ba, ta, tha. Fa ana abduhu, I am that person's slave. In other words, I am indebted to that person. He has taught me something that will help me as far as my akhirat is concerned. And the next thing that we need to bring as far as respect is concerned is respect between spouses. This is very important. When there's respect between spouses, then the home moves smoothly. And when the home moves smoothly, then there's peace in the home. Mawlana Yunus Patel rahmatullahi would give and use this expression, it is as though it is Jannat on earth. As though as there is Jannat on earth, when the husband and wife are conforming as far as deen is concerned, they're on the same page, they're on the same line, that home is moving nice. Otherwise you can have Mr. World getting married to Mrs. World, Miss World, and then you'll find they're having all the luxuries and all the pleasures of this world. But that house will be Jahannam on earth, where there is no deen and there is no muwafaqat, there is no compatibility between the spouses. And sometimes we always try and justify. It is our system and our style. Insan's style is we want to justify everything. In Urdu, the word for ostrich is shutar murgh. Shutar means camel. Murgh means a fowl, a bird. So one person, it's just an analogy, one person asked this shutar murgh, asked this ostrich, that why don't you fly? Why don't you fly? So this ostrich replied, "Me shutar hu, I'm a camel. Did you ever see a camel flying?" So then this person in turn asked this shutar murgh, this ostrich, "Okay, then why don't you carry loads like how the camels carry loads and they move far?" He said, "Me murghu, I'm a bird, I'm a fowl. Did you ever see a fowl carrying loads?" So our condition is such that for everything we have got an answer. But the reality is that we should always look what is right and put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front. And one other very common problem that is there today is business disputes. And at every level, as I started off this talk with explaining that there are so many different types of business disputes. And look at how Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alim ajma'in, they handled the disputes. There was an estate matter that had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Two persons, they've got a dispute as far as an estate is concerned. So both the heirs come up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This riwayat is in Abu Dawud Sharif. And they come, and before they can, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can even preside and give the ruling over the case, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam warns them and he tells them that innama ana basharun, that verily I am a man. Wa innakum takhtasimuna ilayya, you people, you bring your matters to me, you bring your cases to me. Wa la'alla ba'dakum ay yakuna alhana bi hujjatihi min ba'd, and some of you perhaps are more eloquent, more articulate in the way you present the case, which is very common today. A person thinks, if I get a good advocate, if I have a good attorney, then this case is mine, even though I know I'm in the wrong. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is cautioning this, that some of you are more articulate, you are more eloquent in the way you present your case. And who is this case being presented to? Not the high court, not the magistrate's court, is being presented to the highest court ever possible, the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the highest court, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is warning them. Wa ana aqdi binahwi ma asma'u, and I give the ruling according to what I hear. So how you present your case is, that's how I give the ruling. وَإِنَّمَا نَبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم then goes on, he said, فَمَنْ قَضِيتُ لَهُ مِنْ حَقِّ أَخِيهِ فَلَا يَأْخُذْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. And if I give a ruling in favor of one party, and that means that he's eating from the right of his brother, he's taking away the right of his brother, فَلَا يَأْخُذْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا, don't take one inch. Not the High Court ruling, not the Supreme Court ruling. This is the ruling of the highest court ever. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, even though the ruling is in your favor, don't take one inch from your brother. إِنَّمَا أَقْطَعُ لَهُ قِطْعَةً مِنْ نَارٍ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining why. Because my ruling actually is giving you a portion from the fire of Jahannam. That is what you are getting. You are walking away happily and thinking that you got a ruling in your favor, but you've actually got a portion from the fire of Jahannam that you have taken away. So when these two sahaba had heard this, now they began to weep profusely. Sahaba were not like us. When they were told something about akhirat, then it was as though it was right in front of them. It was though they are seeing and they were scared that we don't want to walk away with Jahannam. We rather walk away and lose what we've got. We rather lose what we got than walking away with taking a portion of the fire of Jahannam. They began to weep profusely. And each Sahabi here is saying, Haqqi lak, that whatever right I have in this matter, I'm giving it to you. Take it away. I don't want it. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains to them and tells them in a very nice way that when you want to amicably dissolve, whether it is a partnership, whether it is a company, whether it is any situation where two people are joined in any type of partnership, then there's a very amicable way. Whether it may take a different legal form, but there's a very amicable way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed that this is the way Muslims. There's no problem in having a disagreement with your partner. There's no problem in seeing in a small disagreement in a way that it is approached. But what Sharia doesn't like when it becomes dirty, when it becomes mudslinging, now becomes malice in the heart, the dushmani in the heart comes, this Sharia does not like it at all. No problem if you want to dissolve, but do it amicably. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows these two sahaba in a very, very nice way. Amma idha fa'altuma ma fa'altuma. If you two people now, you'll want to amicably dissolve this matter, then this is what you do. The first thing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells them, faqtasima. Get your paperwork in order. Get your financials in order. Understand, divide this estate now that you've got, divide it in exactly two portions as far as values are concerned. So get the two values right. This is step one. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing a very easy way to dissolve and to settle a business matter where two people now want to amicably dissolve. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying divide it into two. After you divide it into two, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then tells them, وَتَوَخَّيَا الْحَقِّ. Now what you do is you apply, because whenever you divide any estate, whenever you divide any business, whenever you divide assets, there will always be some grey areas. There will never be 100% black and white. There will be grey areas. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam giving them a second approach. وَتَوَخَّيَا الْحَقِّ. Apply your minds that you want haq to prevail. To the best of your ability, you try and apply and see what is right, what is wrong, what is the differences. Through the best of your mind, your niyat is you want haq to prevail. You don't want your ego to prevail. You don't want your pride to prevail. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. The only thing that you want to prevail is you want haq to prevail. And then the third step, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told him, fastahima. Now when you've got two portions, it's divided into two, maybe A and B. A will have cash, for example, and have a building. B may just have another asset that is worth equal to A. For example, it may have the business. So one side you've got the business that is worth equal to the building and the cash. So who's going to take A and who's going to take B? Who's going to take portion A? Who's going to give portion B? So beautifully, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, now what do? You applied your mind, you divided it into two. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells them, draw lots. Draw lots. Why? Because your niyat is such that we want haq to prevail. Whatever is in my taqdeer, whichever part is in my taqdeer, that lot will come to me. We draw lots and we'll pick it up. Whichever one is meant for me, I'll get. Whichever one is meant for you, you accept it as the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How beautifully. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, summa stahala, thumma tahala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told him, then the fourth measure that you should do, after this whole exercise is complete, each party make the next one maaf. Finish. That whatever misunderstanding there may be a mistake in our calculations, there may be a mistake in the way we did our things, that we are asking each other for maaf. What a beautiful way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has showed us to amicably settle any types of disputes. Now can you imagine when a dispute like this is settled so easily, so beautifully, where is there chances for two Muslims fighting over a petty business matter? for a petty business deal. There isn't anything like that. Yesterday one person came and he's explaining to me that he had businesses running throughout the country. At one stage he had about 5 different businesses running, and he would be staying in the, he would say, I would be literally living in the aeroplane. But over a very short period of time, Allah Baak made it such that I lost everything. To such an extent that in this incident, even my wife passed away and my child had passed away. Then I realized that for dunya, you don't finish yourself. The dunya will be here today, but tomorrow this dunya will leave you. This love and this muhabbat that you foster between parties, this is something that will remain, and it will not only remain in here, Allah Pak will create that love and the muhabbat even in akhirat. So what is the use of fighting over businesses? What is the use of disputing or fighting over or getting along petty disputes? And one way of doing things is mashwara. That before a person gets involved in any type of business matter, any type of dealing, a very important thing is to make mashwara. Mashwara is such a thing that helps a person. Recently there was a case where two parties, both partners, made up of many partners, but it was a partnership, and they had gone into a dispute, and the dispute had resulted in hundreds of millions of rands legal fees. Can you imagine what type of dispute it was? So they had come for an arbitration, and at the end of the arbitration, each representative of each side is telling me that 20 years ago, our father told us, don't go into partnership. The other party is saying, 20 years ago, my father also said that don't go into this partnership. We thought we knew more than our parents. We didn't accept their mashwara. Today we are fighting like cats and dogs. Today we are fighting like cats and dogs. Why we didn't accept their mashwara at that time? When they had told us, then we thought that we knew more than them. So therefore this mashwara is such a thing that is extremely important. In every endeavor of ours, we should seek to make mashwara. When a person makes mashwara, there is khair that will come out of it. Maulana Tanvi Rahmatullahi would mention a very nice thing, a very beautiful thing. He says when there's something, some matter that is permissible, and a person makes mashwara, would a senior person, some senior person, he makes mashwara, he takes advice from him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it such that this person, because of taking that advice, he will prosper. But that person who goes against the advice of his seniors, even though outwardly he may seem like it is thriving, at the end of the day, this person will always be a failure. Why? He went against the advice of his seniors. So this is one barakah that a person gets by taking the advice of his seniors, is that whatever he does, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the outside, he puts the barakat. And barakat is such a thing, a person won't see it in his bank statements. There won't be a separate line as barakat. He looks at his financial statements, look at the income statement, look at the balance sheet, he can go through the ledger. He'll never see that line item they call barakat. But this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts from outside. The happiness that this person will experience with his family, the happiness that he'll experience with his parents, the happiness that he'll experience with his children, the happiness that he will experience with his neighbors, whatever he does, he'll find happiness, he'll find joy. Allah Pak will find a way, Allah Pak will make a way for him out of his problems because he's got barakat. And when that barakat is taken away, then first this person, it doesn't matter how much money he has, he loses everything. I'll end up on a very quick incident. This also is mentioned in Abu Dawud Sharif. There was a person that was selling a horse. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had purchased this horse from this person. He was a Bedouin, and it was the sale took place out of Madinah Sharif. So now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him, come with me, I will give you the money. The money is there in Madinah Sharif. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him, follow me and come with me, I will take you. So he was following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam at a very slow pace. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam walking in front, walking very slow. Now while he's walking very slow, other people thought he was selling the same horse. So he started entering into other offers and accept other offers with people that are around him. So they thought he's selling it, and he was entertaining the offers that were coming. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam turned around and told him that did we not already conclude the deal? So he tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that halumma shahidan, where's your proof that we already concluded the deal? Now there was a sahabi by the name of Khuzaymah radiallahu anhu. He came up there and he said, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I am your proof. Rasulullah sallallahu told him that how can you be my proof when you were not there? Then he told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we believe you as far as things are concerned, akhirat is concerned, jannat is concerned, jahannam is concerned. How can we not believe you as far as something that we can see is concerned? So thereafter the shahadat of Khuzaymah radiallahu anhu was equal to the shahadat of two people. But it was the style of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't like friction, he didn't like problems. He always ensured that he observed protocol. Protocol is that this person is disputing, I don't have the valid number of witnesses. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't take that anymore. Doesn't matter. I'd rather lose the sale, I'd rather ruin it, but I win the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He left that. He didn't take that animal. The next day, this Bedouin had found that animal had passed away, had died, and his one leg also was sticking up. That animal also this person lost. He lost the sale. The barakat was taken away. That is what happens when barakat is taken away. Person gets no enjoyment. It doesn't matter how many people may offer him what. But when the barakat is taken away, there is no enjoyment left. Eventually, there is nothing left in that item. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of resolving our disputes amicably, understanding how we should live. We should live like Muslims. We should die like Muslims. And we should wake up.